Thanks, Lindsay, and it's nice to be back with you, as always. I want to look at a passage in 2 Timothy this evening. Now, Paul's letters to Timothy are very personal. They're written from a man to someone who's been a helper and a great friend, and it really is just so personal. And yet, despite the fact that it's personal to Timothy, I think we'll find that there are things in these letters which apply to us today and can speak to our situations as well. Now, we're going to read and look at a section from 2 Timothy chapter 3 through into verse 8 of chapter 4. And we're going to break it down into three distinct sections. And just to make it easier, there are three key points in each of the sections, and we find that there's a kind of common pattern in each of the sections. We find, first of all, that there's a command, and then there's a more detailed explanation, and then there's a word of encouragement for Timothy. So there we are, three different sections, verses 1 to 9 of chapter 3, verses 10 to 17, and then chapter 4, verses 1 to 8, and each of them have a command, an explanation, and a word of encouragement. Now, I know as soon as I say that, as we're reading through it, you're going to be looking for these things, and if you find them before I get there, and you've got your own thoughts all sorted out about it, then that's absolutely fine. That makes my life a little bit easier. But let's just start by reading the first section then. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. Paul writes, "You must understand this, that in the last days distressing times will come. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid them, for among them are those who make their way into households and captivate silly women, overwhelmed by their sins and swayed by all kinds of desires, who are always being instructed and can never arrive at a knowledge of the truth. As Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these people of corrupt mind and counterfeit faith also oppose the truth. But they will not make much progress, because as in the case of these two men, their folly will become plain to everyone." Now we, in our first section, see the command right away. It's there in verse 1. "Understand this," says Paul, "in the last days, distressing times will come." And in fact, the word that's used for distressing is a very strong word. In the Greek, it's kalepos. And I understand that literally that means perilous or dangerous or perhaps even savage days will come. It's the same word that's used in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, when we read about the two demon-possessed Gadarene men who were so fierce, so savage, that nobody could pass by that way until the Lord Jesus cast out those demons. So Paul is saying, you know, there are difficult times coming. There are very difficult times coming, and you need to understand this. In fact, this particular command is emphasized. You must understand it, says Paul. And so there's something for us to grasp here when he's emphasizing it so strongly. You need to understand that in these last days, there are going to be pretty savage times coming on the Christians. I sometimes wonder if we've grasped this truth. I wonder if we really understand it. Or do we have a kind of skewed picture that would suggest that ever since Calvary, what's really happening in the world is that we've got the advance of the gospel, and the gospel's going to spread not just its influence in the life of individuals, but it will spread and have a civilizing and a moralizing effect on the world all round about us. It would be wonderful if that was the case, so that progressively the whole world becomes more and more conformed, if you like, to the pattern of the kingdom of God rather than Satan's kingdom. But sadly, I don't think that's the picture which is painted for us in the Scriptures. The picture that we have in the New Testament is of individuals turning to Christ. It's of individuals being one for the kingdom. It's of individuals being completely transformed so that they are renewed and their behavior is transformed and we become new creatures. But that's talking about individuals. Throughout the whole of the Scriptures, we find that the church is presented to us as a remnant, not as this body which will sweep across the world until eventually the whole of the world is embraced within the Christian church. No, the Christian church is always going to be an embattled remnant in the midst of a hostile world. And that's the reality as we find it in the Scriptures. And that, I believe, is the message that Paul is trying to get across to Timothy here. You know, there are savage times coming. It isn't a case of every time we stand up to preach the gospel, we will see lots of men and women converted. We will not see dramatic changes in the lives of everyone that we come into contact with. The reality is the church will be witnessing, will be pointing to the Lord Jesus, will be explaining the possibility of salvation, but will be doing so to a world that by and large does not want to know. Because the world is too busy enjoying the kind of lifestyle that it's got used to. And the gospel presents challenges. The gospel says to people, if you're prepared to follow the Lord Jesus, then your lifestyle has to change. And the world generally doesn't want that, because the world is content with the lifestyle that they've got. That for me was a big issue many, many years ago when I became a Christian. I was enjoying the life that I was living. I didn't particularly want to become a Christian. I was resistant to it because I knew that it would mean I would have to change. There would be a difference in my life. And I didn't want to give up some of the things that I knew I would have to give up. And so we've got a picture really of the church living, witnessing in the midst of a hostile world, and that hostile world continuing in its unrepentant ways, growing progressively harder and harder and harder to the gospel, and growing more and more open in their immorality and in their debauched lifestyle, so that ultimately God, as we read in Romans chapter 1, gives them over to their debased mind. That's the picture. That's the reality as it's painted for us in the New Testament. And so Paul's saying to Timothy, as he says to us today, this is something you've got to come to terms with. This is something that you need to understand. This is the kind of world in which you'll be living. So that's the command. Paul then goes on to explain a little bit more about what he's meaning. What will these distressing last days be like then? Well, we read them, verses 2 to 5. Let's just read them again. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, inhuman, implacable, slanderers, profligates, brutes, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to the outward form of godliness, but denying its power. Does that sound familiar to you? That could be Paul writing about the world in which you and I live. It's a precise description of the kind of days in which you and I are living. And it's not surprising, because we are living in these last times. The last times just basically means that time between the first coming of the Lord Jesus and his return. Remember that in Hebrews it speaks about God speaking in the former times through the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us through his Son. And so it's just about that period of time between the coming of the Lord Jesus and his return. Now let's note a key aspect of these last times, and it's the reason I think why Paul is so keen that we understand these issues. It seems that from what Paul is telling us, that the assault on the church, and ultimately the assault on God and God's message, it comes from outside, it comes from Satan, but it can even present itself as an attack from within the church. There are two key verses that we need to note in this respect, I think. In verse 5, we see that this tide of immorality, it's even practiced by people who hold to the outward form of godliness, but they deny its power. And then in verse 8, we see that the teachers who are at the heart of this deception have a corrupt mind and a counterfeit faith. Now, the point about something which is counterfeit is that it tries its hardest to look completely indistinguishable from the real thing. And so Paul's saying that these teachers will do their best to persuade people. They will look, they will sound, they will seem like the real thing. But he says, even although they're perhaps virtually indistinguishable in many respects, there's this thing that sets them apart, and that's that they oppose the truth. You know, when it really gets right down to it, there are those who are for God and who are prepared to stand on his word and who are prepared to defend the truth of God, and there are those who are not. And that's the distinguishing mark. So Paul says that, you know, these attacks on the church, the difficulties that the church will confront, they'll be from the outside, but they'll also come potentially from within, because there are those who will seek to lead people astray, to take them away from the truth. They might sound plausible. They might have lots of good ideas. They might sound attractive in so many ways, but check them out against the truth that's explained, that's expounded, that's contained within God's word, and you will find that they do not support the truth. They oppose the truth. The passage mentions Jannes and Jambres, and perhaps just before we leave this section, we don't know for definite who these men were, but the thinking is, some people have thought that these were two of these magicians down in Egypt in the time of Moses, when Moses performed these astonishing miracles sent by God to speak to Pharaoh, to demonstrate God's power before Pharaoh so that Pharaoh would let the people go. And some of the sorcerers and magicians in Egypt, they tried to replicate these miracles which were performed by Moses. And so legend at least would tell us that Jannes and Jambres were amongst those magicians. They counterfeited the miracles of God to try and dissuade Pharaoh from letting God's people go. And that's the reality, I think, that you and I are going to confront in the world. Whenever we seek to witness for God, whenever we are prepared to stand up for God, we will find there is a reaction. We will find that there are people who are opposed to the Christian message, who are opposed to the truth of the gospel, who are opposed to God himself, and they will be prepared to do anything they can to undermine our message, to deny its power, and to deflect people from turning to God. What about the word of encouragement in this section then? Well, we see in verse 9 that there's a time coming when that which is false will be exposed for what it is. Now this is wonderful news, and the byproduct of this is if the false is going to be exposed for what it is, then that means that the true church, the pure gospel, those who genuinely are Christ's, they will also become apparent, because no longer will people be misled. The false will be apparent, and the true church will also be clear to be seen. And the second word of encouragement I think we find in this section as well is that, we'll see it in verse 9, they will not make much progress, says Paul. They will not make much progress. Now, how does that square with the picture I've been painting earlier on of a world that's growing progressively more and more debased and immoral and unethical? How does that square with the position that I've been